Let us commence our afternoon church service with hymn number 289, Tunes Bright and New, 308. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears all turn arise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Through this wide wilderness I roam, far distant from my blissful home. Lord, let thy presence be my stay, and guard me in the dangerous way.
Thank you.
7 this afternoon, commencing at verse 21 to the end. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man in an arm, at their wit's end. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are ministered, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they should understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May he bless his word and help us now and teach us to pray. Amen. My gracious God, we do pray for the help of thy Spirit, that we might be given grace to observe these things spiritually in ourselves. For who teacheth like thee? And we, Lord, are pouring them forth freely because of our transgressions, and seem to hold fast to those things, Lord, that are perishing of the using. you know, we would lift up our hearts with our hands to thee, O God, and pray. Thou would touch our hearts. Thou would humble us before thee, O Almighty God, that we might be exalted in due time. Bring our hard things, and our cares and our concerns, Lord, of this life, unto thee. Leave them in all thine wise hands, and grace to observe these things, to understand more the loving kindness of the Lord. Because, Lord, who art thou, Lord, the great mountain, mountains of doubts and fears and troubles, sins and sickness of body and mind. But Lord, who art thou, great mountain, thou deserved before Zerubbabel, thou should be made a plain. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is that great Zerubbabel. Do magnify thy name in our hearts, Lord, and teach us to deal wisely with those matters that confront us day by day, sometimes hour by hour, in our walk through this wilderness. And may we realise that the world is a wilderness. O Lord, how the blind lead the blind, and will they fall into the ditch. Don't leave us to be a blind leader. Don't leave us to be a blind and deaf hearer. But we might truly, Lord, be favoured to know the joyful sound. That we have a real living testimony of thou spoken to our hearts. Thou hast revealed thy love to us. Lord, we're unworthy of thy notice. But to whom else can we go, because thou hast the words and the gift of eternal life. And thou hast promised that all that the Father giveth thee will come to thee. And we know that we're not worthy to come to thee, Lord. But we do pray thou would draw us by the cords of a man, by the bands of thy love, and comfort our troubled hearts, and speak peace and pardon to our souls. And may the blessed gospel, Lord, bear our drooping spirits up, a faithful and unchanging God, lay the foundation of our hopes in those who promises of blood. Do be with each of our flocks, Lord. For those, Lord, who dwell as individuals, who think of Connie, and as an individual here, Lord, no doubt, in that home, so many are aged and infirm. And also we think, Lord, of our friends of Adelaide. Lord, and we look to thee, Lord, to bless them together, husband and wife, and spare them, and bless them, Lord, through them to the good news of salvation as applied to their souls. And bless too, Lord, we pray thee, family members and loved ones in England, as well as, Lord, the whole foundation of faith over there, the whole people of thy honour and glory, that we look for thee to teach them, Lord, we do pray thee, and show them thy way. May, Lord, the gospel not be dead in the hearers' hearts. And may it, O Lord, be applied to work in thy heart, in their hearts, both to will and do of thy good pleasure. And remember, Lord, the flock to up and ride. Give them diligence, Lord, from the youngest to the eldest, to make their salvation sure. And do bless them, Lord, in their school days, and in the further college days, Lord, we do pray thee, that they might acknowledge thee in their ways, and not be ashamed, Lord, to turn into their closets, and pour out their souls before thee, for wisdom and guidance from above, or is anything too hard for thee. And do bless the elder ones, Lord, in the church up there, as well as those older ones amongst us here. I would do pray, Lord, that thou would send further evidences that their poor labours are not in vain amongst the people. And thou would encourage us still to trust thee for thy faithfulness, and yet build us up again in our most holy faith, in spite of much falling away. and they will turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine upon us. Give us each that needful measure of health and strength in our daily lives. Be our guide and our guide, and that friend that stick it close to the brother. How we do need thee, Lord, to govern our ways and our affairs, and lead us in the way that ultimately will take us to the Lord. We ask thy blessing then upon Zion. We ask thee, let the Lord, to have mercy upon our guilty land and nation, upon the guilty land and nation of England, and also America. All is much ado about nothing in America at the moment, Lord. Want a new president, or that there might be one, Lord, that acknowledges God. Instead of all this rubbish that they utter out, Lord, and want to destroy one another. Oh, Lord, and do remember, likewise in England, and also, Lord, other English-speaking nations, that the gospel might be spread, that it might, Lord, find a corner here and a corner there, where souls redeemed by the blood of Christ shall hear thy voice, repent and believe. Or is anything too hard for thee? Be with us as individuals, Lord, in our private lives. Be very mindful of us, and do uphold and support and sustain us, and teach us wisdom's way, we do beg of thee. And help us to bring our hard things to thee, and cast every care and burden upon thee. As we look for salvation, we look for evidences that we are born of God, and that our treasures abide. For who, Lord, is able to understand these things? Only thee, Lord, can teach us wisdom's way. We do beg, Lord, that thou would ever keep our young people from wandering, from wandering from the fold, from wandering, Lord, from believing in God, from trusting in the merits of Jesus alone. All do make us each right and keep us right, and keep our minds stayed upon thee. We are poor followers, poor disciples, but nevertheless, Lord, we trust that we have that single eye, that our whole body might be full of the light and the knowledge of the word of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Do be with us, Lord. Be with us now this afternoon. Give us what to speak in the hour. Take us home in peace and safety afterwards, or may some truths stick fast in our souls for us to meditate upon them, and be a strength for us, Lord, through the week until the next meeting. And do be with the friends, Lord, in the week evening service, if we're enabled to come, we do pray them. Thou knowest, Lord, our needs. Thou knowest their needs. Do be their guardian, their guide. Now, Lord, what wait before our hope is in thee, to truly be better to us each than all our fears and our just deserts, and above all we need, the pardon of our sin, and all we ask in this for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Let us further sing hymn 1088. The tune is Tudor 252. Shepherd divine, ere once relieved in this our evil day, to all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. Long as our fiery trials last, long as the cross we bear, and let our souls on thee be cast, in never ceasing prayer.
Thank you.
7 and reading verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Then they cry. Oh, what things need to be brought upon us to make us acknowledge thee and to pray unto thee. We're so foolish in heart, foolish, dear friend, and sinful to believe. And then, this is an appointed time, a set time to favour Zion, a set time to favour the inhabitants of Zion. And this is that poor soul who has been so weighed down and burdened with so many fears, so much darkness, so much bondage, so much sin that entered into their hearts. We don't realise that we are conceiving sin, do we, until the Lord opens the eyes of understanding and we begin to realise that sin, that hideous monster sin, is the cause of all their woe. Ah, when the Lord so brings you to this, then they cry, then open the eyes of understanding, that they understand the scriptures. Have you got a then? Think of it. When did the Lord so give you a then? When he awakened you from your pride, from your calm mind, which has ever been an enmity to God, then they cry. Realize you're paving your way to hell. Realizing that except you repent and believe, you and I will perish in our sins. Oh, what has made you and me to differ? Nothing to get proud of, or full of self-righteousness or pride. Something when you're brought to feel in the pure and holy eyes of God that you have sinned and come short of all the demands of his commandments. And you're brought there to acknowledge that, oh, Christ, had all I want then. And this will make you cry. All your gold and your silver, all your blessed providential blessings will not stand you and me in good stead when we come to die. The divine appointed will of God to be brought face to face with your Maker and your Creator and also your Saviour, if he's your Saviour. Because he will have bought you and me with a price, and we shall only be complete in his robe of righteousness that covers all our sins. Ah, soul trouble, dear friends, is the greatest trouble you and I will ever have. You may think you've got the greatest troubles that there could be, to a poor man or young people, a girl or boy, man or woman. But you see, you will live to bless God if you go up there to acknowledge Him, to, as I touched on in prayer, to go into your closet, alone with your God, persuaded that His eye is upon you and His ear open unto your cry of mind, trouble. And it is this trouble that is sanctified that brings you to the feet of Christ. It becomes a refuge and a strength and a very present help in your trouble of mind. You see, some are even brought in the shadow of death. Some are brought to death without any warning of their never dying soul spending eternity in hell or in heaven if they're chosen vessels. And so we realize that though some may never read a Bible, the some will be saved and others will hear the solemn judgment, "Depart from me, I never knew thee." Some that have that religion in the head and not in the heart. And this is a solemn thing. Where is your religion? In your head or in your heart? Because if it's in your heart, you'll know what repentance is. You'll know what godly sorrow is for sin. You'll know what you're lacking. And you'll be seeking that you might, through the mercy of God and the grace of God, grow in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The gospel will bear your drooping spirit up, a faithful and unchanging God. Lay the foundation of your hopes in oaths, in promises of blood, the sacredness of the death and the resurrection of Christ. You have murmured against Him, you have complained against Him, because you've heard it in the head, but you've not had that doctrine applied. As He said, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew." And we do need the dew, and we do need His doctrine to drop as the rain. And we know the rain and the effects of it, and it's needful. And sometimes the famine of receiving the doctrine to drop as the rain. But it's vital for the survival of the nations. And there are those in great famine at present in countries. But you see, the Lord knows your desire and mine. Because once quickened, you know you will have a longing soul. And you won't be satisfied until He confirms your soul with signs following. It's salvation. It's all of His free and sovereign grace. And then they cry unto the Lord. This then, with you and me, or may we meditate upon that to know whether there has been a then when we so sought Him for deliverance. It may, as I said, have been in providence, and those things are vital to know that His providence is providing for you, and you've been made to feel your need of Him to come right where you are and make a way for you where there seemed to be no way. For He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." You might have been trained up in this way, and you've now discarded it, because you think your earthly wisdom is better than the wisdom of God. But you know you're deceived. You're deceived. And unless the Lord so turns you around and change your heart, we should go on our way thinking that we're going to be saved and have that solemn word from Him at last, "I never knew thee, depart from me." How vital it is then that we have faith to believe in God, for whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And give you a new something to praise the Lord for. So then they cry. And I believe you'll see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Oh, that men were wise then, that they might consider him and know the loving kindness of the Lord and praise him for it. And so we do bless, we trust in our right minds and what the Lord has done for us and what we hope he will yet further do for us in our pathway of these storms. Storm of life rolls on apace. Who can say oh no? The storm of death, I should say, rolls on apace. And who can say oh no? But oh, what a mercy you have to feel. The eternal God is your refuge and underneath are these everlasting arms to hold up your goings. You know, you won't fall through those arms. They'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you if you seek grace to honour him. You say, here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it in my courts above, that I might be brought out of darkness and bondage. Some spend all their life in darkness and bondage through fear of death. My mother was one that was very much fearful that she would die. And yet her body not be fully dead, and she was laid in the grave with such. But she made a good end. She was often the secret disciple, but I've heard her groanings in prayer in my younger years from the bedroom where we were in with my brother. And you know, it was a real cry, a real groaning. What an example we had in a godly mother. And this is a great gift to have parents that acknowledge God. And they may despise you and laugh you and be to scorn even to this day. But bless God if there are those that have been affected by that religion. You can't give others grace. Remember that. You can't earn grace. It's the gift of God. And it is by grace you are saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. And many religious leaders today speak about works. Well, there will be works which worketh by love. It's out of this love to Christ that there will be good works. And he'll work in your heart both the will and do of his good pleasure. And it will be this. Dependent wholly upon the Lord. Troubles of your heart get enlarged. The troubles of your environment. And all these things seem to be against you. But as the Lord sanctifies these things, they're not against you. They're working for good. For your soul's profit, and you will hear for profit, and there'll be evidences. You won't be able to hide your light under a bushel, but you'll bring it forth as the blessings of the God of heaven, of whom you've cried unto to save you out of your distresses. Your steps will be ordered by the Lord, and you'll delight in his way and delight to do his will. You're not in that place where you're satisfied with your soul, but you'll be satisfied, as I think we sung or will sing, in his likeness, to await in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he creates in you a near a clean heart, renews a right spirit within you. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them. Because you know, the soul that with sincere desire seeks after Jesus, your love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with blessings from above. He pours it, he opens your heart, pours in the blessed truths of the gospel, and you go on your way rejoicing. You feel a little hope that he has chosen you in the furnace of affliction. He has bought you with a price. He has eternally loved you. and having loved you, he will bring you to glory at last. Oh, what a mercy when your faith is in the ascendancy. You look at those things around you and you ponder, oh, why was I made to hear his voice and enter one of this room when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? It's because he's eternally loved you. And this is why he sends his word. He sends his word, heals you, delivers you from your destructions. This is the pure word of God that we have before us. The words of Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing in my heart. How do we react to that? That statement. How do we react to that? Why, when the Lord speaks to your soul, you will lay hold on it. The truth will be burnt into your soul, and you'll go in the strength of that meat for many days. Or, in early days, it might be the sincere mirth of the word that you might grow thereby. But something secret sweetens your trials. It girds up the loins of your mind. Know these troubles may be upon you and me, yet he hears your groanings. He sees and realizes your hearts and mind are in his hands. And all these events are at his command because it's an appointed time. The appointed time in early days, the bride was on a pace not to propose, but called by grace to change your heart, renew your will, return your feet to Zion's hill. You meditate, you go to your Bible that you've perhaps not read. The days, months, or years becomes your guidebook, your instruction book for the way of a believer. Though you see much in there of those that are opposed to you and may be to thee, and yet the Lord, their time's in the Lord's hands. And he drives out those buyers and their sellers, and you're peaceful and alone sometimes after crying unto the Lord, and he bringeth you out or deliver you from your afflictions. And you bless the Lord for it. He saveth them out of their distresses. Because believe me, your sins are brought to your remembrance and they may cause you some distress. I believe I can speak of that from experience. Your distress about your former pathway. About those things when you were careless and fearless and ignorant of God, yet you did everything that opposed his guiding you, or even leading you into prayer. But he's weighed so heavily upon your spirit, you realize you're not in your little knowledge of the truth, been brought to pour out your soul before him. You thought you could manage your affairs and you'd only be brought you into further distress. But these distresses have come and you've known what it is to cry unto him for his gracious help. And so you realize you have neglected him. But through mercy, he has turned you and me around and calls you and me to look for him and for him to save you out of my distresses by giving you a word. A word in season is apples of gold and pictures of silver, and you fail to go on your way rejoicing because the Lord has touched your heart and shown you that he is the way to escape from the wrath to come, and you bless him that you've been able to praise the Lord for his goodness. You've been able to say, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I shall hope to dwell in the house of the Lord, in heaven itself, forevermore. Such is the gift of God that commands your thanksgiving unto him, and of his mercy that endureth forever, because he sent his word. Means you couldn't steal it, could you? As a thief or a robber, some other way you came up. But he has sent his word. You go in the strength of that word. As I said just now, those words were found. They bring you rejoicing in your soul because you've never felt that before. It has revived your drooping spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you. And that anointing will not be removed from you because he's taken that word and sealed it. It may be, dear friends, doctrine. It's not dry doctrine, but it's lively doctrine. As we said earlier, it's dropped as rain. It's refreshed your soul and your mind. And also the dew, a little dew. The softening of the dew, dear friends. A refreshing, a reviving of your faith and your soul's blessings that he has favoured you to feel. Because he reads here, he turns that wilderness, the wilderness of the world, into a standing water, and dry ground into water spring. You see this? Doctrine, droppings of rain, speech distilling as the dew, reviving dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell. There's something secret working in your soul. You give him no rest until he establishes you with a praise in the earth, and you realize that you must commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. That is laid up in your soul. You want to know him, the only true God. Jesus Christ, and we said that you are persuaded that nothing will separate you, as it was with Saul of Tarsus. You've been pricked in the conscience. You've been pricked in the conscience about your, maybe your language, your worldly language, pricked in the conscience. And sometimes it might flow into your mind when you're in trouble, and you have to say to the Lord, subdue it, Lord, subdue the devil. And his evil language, it seems to be the general trend of society today. No respect. Just vile language floats from their filthy mouths and filthy heart. Oh, we have to realize, Lord, do deliver me from this fiery darts of the wicked one that would have me to curse and swear as Peter of old did. But he denied that the Lord was his Saviour. You see, we have to be watchful of our tongue. It's that evil member, dear friends, that is left to murmur against God and his blessings, even in our hand. And so we need the Lord to save us and send the word and heal us and deliver us from their destructions. These distressing languages of the devil in the day and age that we live in, which seems to be the norm of their filthy tongues, dear friends, the vileness of their carnal mind and enmity to God. We have to say, Lord, my sins have passed, the offences. Those days when I was in unregeneracy and had the language of the worldly, and still, Lord, needed to keep us from it. It's a solemn thing, isn't it? We have to ask the Lord to stop our mouths from bringing further shame and reproach upon the dear head of Christ, and to be brought there our refuge. Lord, keep the door of my lips, and I'm not left to bring shame or reproach upon that dear head of thine who has suffered great punishment for the sins of the people, even my sins, if I die. And so there's nothing to glory in, dear friends, in having vile language that may bring out laughter
from others that are around us. We have to pray, don't need to be kept. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that had been given the last time, that I might praise God. You can't praise Him unless His grace is in exercising your soul and faith. It'll be the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things that are not seen. And He tarries often in the late that comes. He tarries after men. Seeming to be late, but then he comes at evening, comes at evening last. And so at evening time, it may be light in our lives. The Lord will trust, the Lord will come in our earlier days and show us these tokens of His love, because He raiseth the storm, but He maketh it to come. And so He calls in it to come to exercise your soul and mind more and more in the knowledge of the truth, that I might know Him. He's not physically in our presence, but He may reveal Himself in a vision. The vision is yet an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. And if you've had a vision, hold fast to it and pray that it might be a real vision from your Lord and not an imaginary one. And casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Oh, to walk worthy of Him. Oh, for that closer walk with God at heart and Heavenly Father. You know, dear Anne Steele knew it. She had to be kept, but she had to know it, and so she wanted it. To know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, we may conform one to His death, even the death of the cross. Crucified to the world, yes, laughter, scorn, despised and rejected of man. You'll be very familiar with the truth as it's formed in your heart and mind. And you pray, Lord, give me a heart to praise and bless Thy name for Thy great goodness and Thy mercies that are new every morning, in Thy great faithfulness to sinners. And really this, sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Saviour. Because He has revealed Himself, tell His word to yourself, and it's stuck fast. A sinner saved by grace. And we bless the Lord, don't we, then? He saveth them. Only He can deliver you from the pit. Only He can make you wise unto salvation. Only He can teach you to number your days. Only He can give you a heart to praise and bless Him, that delivered you from your destructions. Truly, what favoured souls we are, if we can wade through this psalm, if there only be one psalm, and realise that we do need to give thanks unto the Lord for these mercies, for His good, for He is good, for His mercy endure forever. Not many today can say that, but you will say that. His mercy is new every morning. He is a faithful God that promised, them that honour me, I honour. They that despise me shall be like this day. Oh, blessed, blessed favour. Mary, on the other way round, He turneth rivers into a wilderness. And what do we think about that? There is a river, the stream where I make glad the city. Well, God is in the midst of her. He shall help her. And that right early. Has He done this for you? Will you turn them into wilderness if you forsake Him? And water springs into a dry ground, the fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell in it? Or that you and I might come out from among them and be, and touch not the unclean thing, and He will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Or may the Lord Work in your heart and mind both the will and do of his good pleasure. No other refuge. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave our leaving on the moon. Still support and comfort me. I thought, wake up this morning. Rock of ages, cleft from thee, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. That's what we want. Christ, the rock, the bedrock of your religion, the true refuge from guilty sinners. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all your destruction. There's nothing too hard for the Lord in healing you and restoring you, washing you and making you clean, pardoning you with that shed blood that he shed on Calvary's tree. It is finished. It is finished. The plan of salvation complete, and you are complete in him. Oh, what a refuge. Look upon me, Lord, in my sad state, and do save me for thy mercy's sake. And preserve unto me this Protestant heritage, this religious liberty. Deliver me from false religion. Deliver me from those of the flesh. And work in my heart both the will and do of thy good pleasure. We've been reading about the holy and holy man, those two women that played the whore with many, many, many people. God, dear friend, was very mindful of their wickedness. We see the wickedness and lewdness of men in our day. Oh, may you and I be kept from it. We know we're sinners. Sin's immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. A holy and holy God, both those daughters that were wicked women, dear friends, and what of their end? Perished in their sins. Well, what a mercy if you and I, amongst the chosen blessings, we should realize that we can't cast any stones, can't point any finger of judgment upon our another when we have a beam in our own eye. We're told to remove that beam that is in our own eye, and then thou can remove the mote in another's eye. But God must remove the mote. God must remove, dear friends, the beam in your eye, that we might have that single eye, that our whole body might become at time to time the glory of the Lord in what he has done. In saving our souls from death, destruction, and despair. It's right to know this. If sin be pardoned, I am secure. Death and no sting beside. The Lord lives in his damning power. For Christ, my ransom God. There'll be joy in heaven over one sinner that repented rather than 99 that have no need of repentance. He saveth them out of their distresses. You wonder why you distress. Your distress call. Man has his distress call on the earth for deliverance. Until you're not deliverance by man, you'll be want to be delivered by this man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we turned away from him. Until that time, he opened the eyes of understanding. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Object of your soul's desire, Jesus, crucified for me and yourself. May the Lord then bless us with his grace. Help us endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith, and may hold it last on eternal life. May you pardon all the mess. Get to yourself honour and glory. Go before us in every untrodden step of the way, and ultimately to receive the blessing of the Lord that maketh no rich, but maketh us rich, and addeth no sorrow thereto. Amen. Let us conclude with 619, which is Ephraim 463. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great, cannot perfect bliss create. Souls renewed by grace divine, carnal pleasures will resign. Holiness without a stain, they are thirsting to obtain.
Oh,
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest in the marvelous age. We ask you for Christ's sake.